JMI Wealth's Andrew Kelleher, very good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Talk to me about balance of payments, good or bad?
It's widened out. So yesterday, yeah, we got an update on the current account balance of payments. It's not really a market mover, Mike, but it does give us a read on the flow of goods, services, money in and out of New Zealand. So it has, the current account deficit, Mike, has widened. It's widened to 2.2% of GDP. It was previously 0.8% of GDP. So it's gone from 3 billion to 5 billion comparing the March quarter to the December 2020 quarter. So seasonally adjusted, as I said, $5 billion. So what's going on here? Well, here's evidence, Mike, of the lost summer of tourism. So no international tourists, nobody coming in, spending the US dollars, spending the quids, the euros, the renminbis. You combine that with a very strong demand for imports because we are buying stuff from overseas. I know it's hard. We've got all these supply chain issues, but we are buying stuff. That has what's created the widening in the deficit. So look, it was close to market expectations, so no real implications for things like GDP today. But, you know, the Trans-Tasman bubble, even though it's opened up, doesn't make a dent in this compared to, you know, what we would normally see.
Yeah.
Prior to quarter one this year, the largest deficit recorded was $4.3 billion in the June 2008 quarter, straight after GFC, so we're more than that. First time in a year, the value of imported goods has exceeded the value of exported goods. No real impact on the currency. That's where you'd expect to see a reaction. But then, of course, we had the Fed, which has just come out, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Okay, very good indeed. Now, what about the debt to incomes, eh?
Oh, let's pivot to the Reserve Bank. And the bank's toolkit just got a little bit bigger. So Grant Robertson has granted the bank the access to debt to income tools. So the Reserve Bank has certain powers to tell the banks what to do, you know, around how much capital they have to hold, how much they can lend on certain deposit ratios. So this extends the control that the bank has over bank lending. Debt to income, it's all about debt serviceability. So the bank says they'll use these powers if it deems them necessary to support more sustainable house prices. Effectively means you can only borrow a certain multiple of your income. So from the bank's point of view, this complements the LVRs, loan valuation ratios. They manage the risk to banks if the borrowers default, and the DTIs reduce the risk of a borrower default. Now, so Grant Robertson's still trying to tilt the market in favour of the first home buyer, but Mike,
exactly,
these DTIs would appear to potentially have more impact on lower income borrowers.
Correct.
Now, I haven't had a chance to read the accompanying policy options paper. I'm on a plane to Wellington shortly, Mike. That will be my in-flight entertainment, such as my life. But I'm probably looking at a limit of, you're probably looking at a limit of 6 to 7 times income should they choose to use this tool.
All right. What'd the Fed say?
Monetary policy announcement. So heading into this with inflation gathering speed, job market tightening, no change was expected. It's all about the dot plots, Mike. It's all about the dot plots. This refers to a chart where the FOMC members think the Fed fund rates will be. So we're looking for also some indication of what's happening with taper. Well, Mike, the dot plots have moved. Hold the bus. 2 rate increase in 2023. Previously, it was expected that there'd only be a couple. Look, they've maintained what the quantitative easing, but it is a little bit more hawkish. So we're seeing shares down a little bit. We're seeing interest rates up a little bit. So the bank has said that they will keep the Fed funds rate down until they have substantial further progress has been made towards the committee's maximum employment and price stability goals. But you've now got 13 of 18 officials now see one rate hike by the end of 2023. You've now got 11 that are looking at 2 hikes. But they see, Mike, they see unemployment in 2023 falling to 3.5%. This is the US economy we're talking about, 3.5%.
I believe it.
A bit more hawkish.
Yeah, all right, good stuff. What are the numbers?
Oh, now the numbers. Just 1 second, because we'll just get an update on these and see what the market has done. The Dow Jones now down 340 points. It was down about 140 going into it, so 33,962. That's down about 1%. The S&P 500, 4,214, which is down 32, was down about 13 prior. The NASDAQ, 13,934, which is down 138 points, and that was pretty flat going into it. So shares under a bit of pressure. FTSE 100, 7184, up 12. The Nikkei, 29,291, down 150. Shanghai Composite, 3518, down about 1%. ASX 200, yesterday gained 7 points, 7386. The NZX 50, down 115 points yesterday, reversing the gains from the previous day, $12,581. Kiwi dollar, 0.7091, weakened off a bit after that because the US dollar is stronger against the Aussie, 0.9260, 0.5889 euro, 0.5060 pounds, 78.40 yen. Gold, $1,844.23, and put the order in for that EV, Mike. Brent crude, $74. You know you want to.
I'm reading an analyst today says 100.
Yeah, well, it could do. It's got momentum. $74.23.
Geez, I'm going to need to do something, mate. I can't afford it. Nice to see you. Have a good trip to Wellington. JMOwealth.co.nz.